Welcome to this week's episode of Rocky Mountain Marketing. I'm Katie Brinkley, and you're listening to the premier podcast for business owners ready to elevate their influence and impact in the industry. Have you ever wondered how digital marketing can revolutionize your business? Well, with two decades of experience empowering business leaders, consultants, and coaches, I understand the transformative power of digital marketing. Today, we're not just discussing strategies, we're crafting your digital legacy. In each episode, we'll dissect the trends, strategies, and insights that are shaping the future of marketing. You'll walk away with actionable knowledge to thrust your business forward and stories of local enterprises making a global impact. Are you ready to turn insights into action? Let's jump into today's episode of Rocky Mountain Marketing and start shaping your legacy. Welcome back to this week's episode of Rocky Mountain Marketing. Today's guest, you know, it was really interesting because the very first time I met him in person, I was like, man, that guy seems really familiar. And I have a feeling that he gets that a lot because I got the opportunity to hear him speak at the Capshovians live event, which was in Orlando in early January of 2024. And part of his opening was, if you guys feel like you recognize me, you probably do because I do a lot of Facebook ads. And I was like, that's where I recognize the guy. But we're not talking about Facebook ads. We're talking today about podcasting. And you all know how near and dear my heart is to podcasting because podcasting changed my business. I come from radio. I love anything audio. Clubhouse, back when we were all under lockdown, I couldn't get off that never-ending conference call. But podcasting is very near and dear to my heart. I love encouraging others to start a podcast for their business. But one of the common struggles so many people have when they start their podcast is actually growing the listenership. It can be really hard to find our way as we're trying to grow our shows. And so that's why I brought in Kevin Schmidlin. The guy that we probably all recognize from Facebook ads, he has
Grow the Show.
But that actually wasn't his very first podcast. His first podcast was Philly Who, and that was launched in 2018. And it was just a side hustle that started to grow. Soon he was able to leave his 9-to-5 with podcasting as part of his core offer. So I wanted to bring him in to talk with all of you today about how he launched
Grow the Show,
which is a podcast. He has the
Grow the Show
Accelerator. He's doing so many things and he's done it in such a short amount of time, just 2 years. Kevin, thank you so much for joining me today on Rocky Mountain Marketing.
Oh, it is my pleasure to be here. What an incredible introduction. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, when we got to know each other through the event, it was a great event. It was very intimate. We got to go to Universal Studios and talk a little bit more and I realized, like, one, you're super tall. So it was really great to be like, hey, so what's going on up there? Because I'm so short. But we really got to know each other a lot more. I was like, man, I got to bring you onto the show. You have so many great tips to share. It's really neat how you shared some of your story at Capshovians about how you left your 9-to-5 and with a different show with Philly Who. So talk to us a little bit about how you got enamored with the podcasting world and how it really changed your entire trajectory with business.
Totally. So back in 2018, I was 4 years into a software career. I worked for a big health insurance company and I was not super passionate about health insurance or software, but it was a good six-figure job. Throughout those 4 years, I always had different side hustles, totally ridiculous ones, because I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. One of them was a social media app that was geolocated digital pinatas, totally absurd. One of them was a physical product, which was like helping you get Amazon packages safely without them coming into your house. That didn't work. I didn't know the first thing about manufacturing. And I had a couple other things as well. But in 2018, I was like, all right, I'm going to take this year and I'm going to not worry about having a side hustle. I'm not going to try to like become the next Mark Zuckerberg and anything. I'm just going to chill out for a bit. In that time period, I started listening to podcasts a bunch. And there was this one particular day where I had discovered the podcast Startup, How I Built This with Guy Raz, the Tim Ferriss Show. Like I just started, and it was new to me. I'd never consumed anything in this way before. I was so enamored with just hearing really interesting people talk about their lives, share what they know. I became an ardent, obsessed podcast listener. One day I was listening to the show, How I Built This with Guy Raz, and they were doing an episode about Warby Parker, which is the glasses brand,
Yeah.
And I didn't know this at the time, but Warby Parker was originally founded in Philadelphia while all of its co-founders were at the University of Pennsylvania. So I found myself one morning on the subway listening to this incredible story of this company like launching, and it had this incredible first day and they were like doing it while taking finals. And it was just this riveting story. It was even more exciting to me because I was like, oh my gosh, like they just mentioned Walnut Street. I'm under Walnut Street right now. It was so inspiring to hear this story done in my hometown because I hadn't really heard so much success coming from Philly before. And I was like, I want to hear more of this. I want to hear more incredible Philadelphia success stories, but in this way, in a podcast, and in particular, the like really cinematic, like NPR style podcast. So I was like, okay, I've got some free time because I'm not working on a side hustle right now. I'm just going to make this podcast. It'll be super fun. I just want to listen to it. And I took a couple months, learned how to record, learned how to use a microphone, set up a couple of interviews or whatever. And I really, really loved it. I was like, this is so much more fun than writing software. So I launched the show in May of 2018. It did fairly well right away. It got like 250 downloads on the first day, which I didn't know at the time, but that's like really good for
a first episode. Yeah.
100%. But I had no idea. I was just like, yay, like this is going well. It started to get some buzz around the city, and totally prematurely, I was like, oh, wait, this is going to be it. This is going to be my thing. And I gave notice. Now, mind you, the whole time I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I had built up savings because I knew that at some point I was going to leave and do my own thing. So I was like, I got a little bit of a flash of success here. I'm doing it. I gave my notice at work. My boss was like, okay, what company are you going to? Because in health insurance, like when you quit, you're almost always going to just like one of the other five big health insurance companies. I was like, I'm going to be a full-time podcaster. Now, this is 2018. Now, everybody talks about being a full-time creator, quote unquote, but that was not a thing. Like people weren't talking about that. And he was like, oh, okay, well, that's awesome. Your job is here. Like, it just, it, you always have a home here. So if anything doesn't work out, just give us a call. So that summer, I spent the whole summer running around the city interviewing incredible Philadelphians. It was awesome. I was on cloud nine. But with every month that went by, my savings were going down and down and down. Despite the fast start of the show, pretty soon after settling into a rhythm, growth completely stopped. So my downloads were not going up anymore. In fact, they were going down a little bit every episode. I certainly didn't have the slightest clue how I was going to make any money doing it. So fast forward 6 months and I was out of savings. I was starting to like go into credit card debt and just like, again, totally ill-advised. I don't recommend anybody do it this way. I came to a point where I pulled out my phone and pulled up the contact of my old boss. I think I have to go back. But the problem is I'd made such a big stink in my life to everybody in my life that I was this incredible podcasting entrepreneur that I was like, okay, I'm going to just stop actually publishing the show. I'm going to put the show on hold for a couple of weeks and just see if there's anything I'm missing here, right? See if I can figure out why this isn't working. So I spent a 4-week period. I didn't publish any episodes of the show. And I listened, I went just on this crazy binge trying to learn what successful podcasts do. I took a weekend. I listened to every single podcast on top of the top 100 charts in Apple just to see, to listen, what are they doing differently than what I do? I took some sales and marketing courses. I read a couple books. Got in touch with a couple of big name podcasters just through my network to ask them for advice. And through all of this, what I learned is that the internet is very good at teaching us how to launch a podcast. If you Google it, it's easy, right? You just, here's how to do it. And there's tons of podcast experts, quote unquote, which I am one myself, right? No shade. But most of them have successfully launched a show. So they go into teaching other people how to launch a podcast, but they have not successfully grown a show. So I was like, oh, the internet is really bad at teaching us how to grow a show. It's great at teaching us how to launch, but when it comes to growth, everybody's just doing what everyone else does. So there's this like echo chamber of podcasters who really don't know how to grow their show, and they're all just emulating each other and doing the same things that don't grow podcasts. Then they're all wondering why their podcast is not growing. And they think the problem is themselves because they're like, well, everybody else is doing this. You know, why isn't my podcast growing? But really, you're emulating people who also don't have any podcast listeners.
Yeah.
So once I learned this, I was like, oh, it's different than what I thought. I brought the show back, implemented the things that I learned in that period. And within a year, the show garnered 100,000 downloads. And it's a local show, by the way. It's not, you know, a big national show.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was awesome. And I was able to generate over 100K in monetized revenue from the podcast. That is when my life really began to change. So that's how I got into it as a creator. And then it was in 2020 that I started helping other podcasters on how to grow and monetize.
Oh man. And Kevin, I love that you shared that you listened to a whole bunch of podcasts in a weekend and you bought some digital courses, because I think that a lot of times most of the people that are listening to this show, obviously they're avid podcast enthusiasts, but there's so many free resources out there. I was telling somebody recently that I was like, if you want to know how to do all the things, just listen to my show. Like I literally give it away. There's nothing, you just have to do the work. But I mean, I tell people exactly how to do all the things on my podcast. If you find the right shows and the right creators, you can learn a lot of really valuable information for free. All it costs you is your time. So Kevin, growing a show, 250 downloads for your first episode is incredible. I think that especially for a local podcast, like launching with 250, your bar was set high. Like, okay, well, it's just going to go up from here. So then moving into 100,000 downloads for a local podcast, again, that's incredible. Talk to us a little bit about what some of the key features and key takeaways that you had on how to grow your show that was different than a lot of what other podcasters were saying about growing. No one really talks about growing. They all talk about launching.
Right. Well, and they try to talk about growing, but they talk about things that don't actually work. I'll tell you what worked then tactically, but what I'll say is that the tactics on how to grow an audience online changed very fast. You know, the tactics that worked in 2018 absolutely don't work in 2024. They're different tactics, but the fundamentals, the actual fundamental strategy behind the tactics are tried and true and they last forever. The main ideas, there's really three main ways, maybe four, but the fundamentals behind it are number one, go to communities, go to online communities where your ideal podcast listener is listening. Number two is leverage other people's audiences. And then the third one is understand how social media algorithms work. Basically, the way that I got 250 downloads on day one, which first of all, I didn't understand how good that is for a podcast back then because we're kind of desensitized, even more so now, to numbers. What I didn't get then that I get now is that a podcast download, like one singular download, is much harder fought than literally any other mode of consumption online. So social media views, YouTube views, and especially desensitized these days with the crazy views that people get on like TikTok and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But what I also didn't really understand, I didn't see, is that one podcast download of a 60-minute episode is a lot more valuable than a view of a 5-second short on social media. I didn't get that was really good for a podcast. But the reason that worked so well was because I shared the very first episode of the show with an online community that I had been a member of for 3 to 4 years. It was a community of startup founders in Philadelphia. So those are people who already knew who I was. I had already contributed to the community in different ways before. And then I said, hey, everybody, I just launched a podcast. And my first guest is this revered startup founder that everybody loves. And people were like, oh, this is awesome. Oh, my gosh. And so, boom, 250 people tuned in. Now, when I first started helping people grow their shows, I would say, go to online communities. That's what worked for me. But then people would go and they would just start spamming their podcast links in as many online communities as they could find. And that does the opposite effect, right? You get no engagement. Everybody hates you for it because you literally, when you joined that community, had to check a box that said, I promise not to promote myself. And the first thing you did was, hey, everyone, go listen to my podcast. And everyone's like, no, there was one rule. So how do you actually get a community to want to listen to your show? It's what I unknowingly did back then with that initial community, which is you must participate. Don't promote, participate. And the idea is join online communities where your ideal podcast listeners already hang out all the time and go there, but don't spam your show. Don't say, hey, everyone, go listen to my podcast. Nobody, that's not what people are there for. They're there to connect. So you want to go there. You want to help them. You want to answer questions. You want to share what you're up to. You want to celebrate their wins, like those types of things. Go be a participant in the community. And then when the opportunity comes up to share that you have a podcast or that you have a new episode available, it makes perfect sense. You already have these fans baked in. So that's number one, is online communities. I do talk about those today in 2024. They do work well. Facebook groups had a moment in 2020 and now they get like online communities have a little bit less gusto than I think they did 2 to 4 years ago.
I think that a reason why a lot of online communities have lost some of their gusto is because a lot like, so for Podmatch, we both know Alex Sanfilippo, that he moved his community off of Facebook groups into Mighty Networks. I think that there's a lot of businesses or people that are trying to form communities that are taking them offline where a lot of your ideal clients could be hanging out.
Totally. 100%.
But I love that you talked about going into these communities to give value and, you know, immersing yourself, being a community member, and people know your name then and then want to see more of that you're doing.
100%. And the same idea applies to social media. Now, I'm speaking to the expert here, so part of me is like, oh, what are you even talking about, right? But when you presented at Kevshovians Live, your presentation talked about the four post strategy, which was a total aha for me. I'm like, this is such an incredible way to put it. And the underlying thing behind what you taught us and what you teach us about how to promote a show on social is what I just said, which is don't promote, participate. And what I loved about what you taught us is you're not hopping onto social media when you have a new podcast episode to spam everybody and say, hey, yeah, everyone, here's a crappy headshot of the person that I interviewed this week.
That you might or might not know.
Right. And here's an AI generated caption that uses the word game changer in it.
Attention all entrepreneurs.
Yeah, right. Emoji with the, yeah. And here's 800 hashtags. Like, no, that doesn't get people to actually want to listen to your show. What does is instead of running to social media to promote your podcast, instead use your podcast to participate on social media. Use the insights that are generated on your show to create social media content that in a vacuum participates. It is useful, right? People are like, they see your post and they're like, oh, this was good. I liked this. I got something to this from this, right?
Exactly. Exactly. This is probably why we had so much fun together at Universal Studios, Kevin, because we could just geek out about like social media needs to have like conversations and community. 100%. But okay, so I know you have like a four post step framework or a four step ladder, right? Totally. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that growing your show is the hardest, like consistency. Let's be real. I think consistency is the hardest part of having a podcast. It's not trying to find guests. It's not trying to find things to talk about. It's remaining consistent. But then number two, I'd say, is growing the show. Because if it is something that you're really passionate about and you want to see success with, not necessarily in the realm of what you did of quitting your full-time job, but if you, I mean, I record two episodes a week. I put a lot of time and effort into this show. I would love to have more people listen. If it is part of your strategy for your business, you want more people listening. Let's talk about that four-step ladder.
Yeah, great. I'm so glad you did that, because we jumped right into talking about growth tactics. But what I found is that every podcaster thinks they have a growth problem, but most of them actually have other problems that are manifesting as growth problems. Actually, one thing I'll say is that consistency is very hard. It's the hardest when you aren't getting any growth. So like not getting any growth makes it very hard to be consistent, because you're not getting any reward. You're just like grinding it out, publishing into the void, telling yourself that someday this thing's going to take off, right? At some point it's going to quote unquote blow up and this will all be worth it. But once you actually learn how to grow the show and you see new downloads each and every week, it becomes a lot less hard to be consistent, because it's fun, because you're getting rewarded for all the work that you're putting in while you're putting it in. So let's talk about how to actually do that. How do you actually grow your podcast? Well, after what I haven't shared yet is that in 2020, there was, once COVID happened and everything got shut down, I found myself in a place where all of my scheduled interviews for my Philly show got canceled, because everybody that I was interviewing, they're all these like leaders and stuff like that. And number one, it just suddenly felt like a really weird time to do a like 60-minute life retrospective. Most of them had to focus on leading their organizations and families and lives through everything that was going on. So I found myself, everything got canceled, and I was just kind of like most of us, quarantined, sitting on my hands. And I started interacting with other podcasters. I started hearing from other podcasters who wanted to know how the heck I cracked the code. How did I manage to live all of 2019 full-time off of just podcasting? I started meeting with them one-on-one, started helping them out. But with every single podcaster that I worked with at that period of time, I found the same problems. That's when I launched Grow the Show in 2020, because I was like, look, I've spoken with 30 podcasters. All 30 have the same problem. I've solved these problems. I think there's probably a chance for me to have a bigger impact here. So launched Grow the Show in 2020. And literally since then, we're recording this in early 2024. I have done nothing but help podcasters and entrepreneurs grow their podcasts. I even left Philly. I'm in Miami now just to focus on this business. Over 4 years working with 400 plus clients one-on-one, what I've been able to see is that there's really four levels to podcast success. So there are four levels to podcast success. I call it the podcast ladder, because at the top of the ladder is a successful growing podcast that gets new listeners each and every week and gets you ROI as the business owner, where you are actually, the show is monetized, right? You're either selling ads on it, you're getting money in some way, or my favorite, you're getting clients and customers from the show. The reason it's a ladder is because you can't skip a level on the ladder. If you don't get level one locked in, you could be really good at level three, but you will still have no results. You have to do them in order. And so growth is level three. There's actually two levels to the podcast ladder that you really need to understand before your growth tactics will work. And that is the problem that most podcasters that I come across have. They think they have a growth problem, but they have two other problems first. So let's talk about level one. Level one is what I call having a clear, unique premise. Clear, unique premise. There's two parts to that, clear and unique. Your show is unique when it is the unique combination of three things. Number one, who the show is for specifically, which is your audience. Number two, what the show will do for that audience, which is your show's mission. By the way, that's not what you're going to do. It's not, I am going to interview successful entrepreneurs. It's what are those interviews? What are those conversations going to do for the people that listen to it? That's number two, your listener mission. And number three is your format. Everybody defaults to the 45-minute interview. We love interviews, right? We're doing one right now. It's awesome. But everybody just defaults to those. They're like, oh, podcast. I'm going to do weekly interviews with successful people. But number one, there's already so many of those shows. Like there's so many interview shows. But number two, the vast majority of people are average. The average person is average at interviewing. We're not all master interviewers. That is a craft in and of itself. The issue that a lot of podcasters face is when they default to interviews and they don't commit to becoming a really good interviewer, which takes work and it takes study, they put out average interviews. And those average interviews are competing with world-class interviews, the shows that everybody has heard of. So those three things, who is your audience specifically, right? What is your show going to do for them specifically? And how is it going to do that, which is your format? That makes up a unique premise. Does that make sense, first off?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And before we hit record here, everything that you asked me before we hit record, I'm like, he's testing me. But no, it's true. When you have a show, and I think like you said, going to interviews, it's a lot easier talking to someone than it is talking by yourself. I had my show for 2 years before I launched the solo episodes. Now I do them every single week, but I feel the solo episodes, I mean, no offense, Kevin, but the solo episodes do way better than the interview episodes. And I think it's because maybe I'm not the best interviewer, but I mean, it definitely shows me that people want to learn and they like those short solo-based episodes that I'm doing. And I think that not all of us can start by just talking to ourselves. Totally. It's kind of hard having a conversation with yourself for 15 to 30-ish minutes.
Totally, it is. And why my recommended default for format is 50% solo, 50% guest. Because don't get me wrong, guest episodes are a blast. It's a great opportunity to expand your network. If you promote the episode correctly, it can grow your audience. Hint, hint, having big guests alone does nothing. Most people are disappointed when they release their first big guest episode. But if you learn how to promote it the right way, it can make a big difference. And there's other benefits as well. But there's also drawbacks. They take so much time to set up, schedule, reschedule, research, all that type of stuff, edit, you know, publish. Also, you right now are relying on me to make your podcast awesome, right?
Yeah.
My hope is that I'm able to deliver on the call, but there are a lot of guests who aren't that good at that. And if you publish a really mediocre guest, people are going to think your podcast is really mediocre, not good. On the flip side, the solo episodes, way quicker to produce, way faster if you have a framework behind it, if you, you know, understand how to structure it in a way that doesn't mean where you're not just rambling for an hour into the void.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. One of the metrics that we track is completion rate to see if a show is doing well. And the solo episodes have way higher completion rates because they're shorter, they're punchier, and it's ultimately your audience listening to you, which is why they came to the show in the first place, right?
I love that you recommend doing the 50-50. I wish that I would have started doing I call them my quick casts. I wish I would have started doing those sooner, but it wasn't until I really looked at my numbers and realized, well, hey, I'm only doing 4 solo episodes a year. Those ones have really good listen through rates. Crush. They have good downloads. You know, you and I both know Joe Polizzi. He spoke at Capshovians as well. And he has a 5-minute podcast every Monday where he just talks for 5 minutes, really short. I'm like, it's amazing because I can listen to it. Who doesn't have 5 minutes? I was like, what if I did something like that? Now it's helped my show tremendously. Okay, so that's step number one. What's the second rung on the ladder?
There's one other piece to touch on level one, which is making sure your premise is clear. So clear, unique premise. And this is where a lot of particularly entrepreneurs mess up, where they And I'll give you an example. There's a client that I'm working with one-on-one right now. Her name is Danielle. She is an absolute all-star CEO, really smart person who has a company that does bookkeeping services for entrepreneurs. When she came to me, she said, I said, what is your premise? What is your podcast here to do for its listeners? She said, I deliver bookkeeping numbers to my clients all the time. But the problem is they have no idea what to use those numbers for other than filing taxes. And what I want to teach people is that those numbers are your key to making great business decisions, right? Where you can look at the numbers and understand, can I afford to hire somebody? Should I cut? Should I expand? Should I invest? I was like, that's amazing. So what's your podcast called? She said, it's Entrepreneur Money Stories, where every week I interview entrepreneurs about their money mindset. I was like, okay, these are probably awesome entrepreneurs that you're featuring, but I'll ask you, listener who hears my voice right now, do you think when you hear Entrepreneur Money Stories, that podcast is going to teach you how to read your numbers?
No.
Probably not, right?
No.
So we rebranded the show. I said, Danielle, we don't have to change anything. You can still do interviews with incredible entrepreneurs that make great business decisions looking at their numbers. And by the way, you should do solo episodes. We rebranded the show to Business by the Books, the podcast that teaches you how to make great business decisions by looking at your metrics. Now it's like, whoa, I need that show. I need to listen to that podcast every week so I can make great business decisions. So that's just one example of taking a show. We don't even change what you're doing with it, but we just change the packaging behind it and the branding to make it more clear what it's offering to people. And that alone often makes download numbers go up because people are like, oh, wait, this is awesome. So that's the last thing I wanted to say about level one, where it's like, you can have an incredible, unique premise, but if it's not clear immediately to people what you're offering and you try to be too clever and you name your podcast like some, like you would name a album and it's like some clever thing or it's named after your business or whatever, you're going to lose. You're not going to get past level one. So that's level one, a clear, unique premise. So once you have a clear, unique premise, we know what the show is going, who it's for, what it's going to offer them and how it's going to do it. We now move on to level two. Now, this is the one where most people have the issue. Even those who have a clear, unique premise, they think they have a growth problem, but they have a retention problem. I'll share another story of somebody where this was just absolutely really, really apparent. So I came across a podcaster who came to me. His name is Nate Palmer. His show is called Low Carb Hustle. It's a show for people who are looking to get a $1 million body through living a low carb lifestyle. Really clear premise, right? That's, you're like, wow, clear and unique premise. Love it. The problem was he was showing up on other podcasts. He was all over social media. He was even running paid ad spend to the podcast and his show was stuck at 12,000 downloads per month, which is pretty good, right? But it should have been higher given that he had such a unique premise and he was doing so much to market the show. I literally have never seen somebody who had their marketing so dialed, right? But he was like, I don't understand why this show is stuck. I said, all right, Nate, let me listen. I pressed play on his episode and within 10 seconds, I knew exactly what to do to grow his show. And the problem was he couldn't keep the listeners that he was getting. So that's step two. I know you want to grow the show, but step two is keep the listeners that you get. And the number one metric for that is what we mentioned before, which is completion rate, the percentage of your episodes that people listen to. Long story short, I tuned into Nate's show and you press play and it was just like, hey, you're listening to Low Carb Hustle. I'm here with my buddy Juicy Cheeks. Juicy Cheeks, how was your week? I was like, Nate, who's Juicy Cheeks? Who are you? I don't care about Juicy Cheeks' week. I came here to learn how to live a low-carb lifestyle. I said, Nate, we need to have a great intro, right? As soon as you press play on your episode needs to make a promise to your listeners. You need to make it clear what that promise is. And then, of course, the episode needs to deliver upon that promise. So, Katie, you did a phenomenal job of introing me. So I was like, ah,
yes.
Nailed it. Like, you did a great job of selling the person who's hearing my voice right now on why they should hear my voice. You're like, you did a great job of teeing it up. We fixed this with Nate. I said, Nate, I want you to just take 30 seconds. Just say, what are you talking about today? What is the listener going to get? Why is it the best decision they're going to make all week? He implemented just that change on his episodes. And 3 months later, the show had tripled from 12,000 downloads a month to 36,000 downloads a month. And he didn't change his marketing strategy at all.
Yeah.
So he had the problem where he couldn't keep the listeners that he was getting. Once we plugged the hole, boom, he was able to retain listeners and we were able to move on to growth, which is level three.
Oh, man. Well, Kevin, thanks for appreciating your intro. But, you know, it is true. You are amazing. So let's get on to number three. And number four, but I do want to make sure that everyone really is thinking about, okay, I have this podcast, or I've decided to launch a podcast, this is the why behind it. And it's not, I mean, all the things that you're talking about here are important to understand, because you're not just going to launch a podcast and be the next Joe Rogan. It's really hard, and it takes a lot of time and consistency and strategy that goes along with it. I love that we've talked about all this, because I hope that no one's being deterred by any of it. You're giving us all the secret weapon to actually remaining consistent and having the strategy to grow. So let's talk about growth.
Yeah. So, and that's my hope. My hope is that folks are encouraged, where they're like, whoa, I never considered these things before. Because a lot of times, like Nate, you don't have to change your growth strategy. You just have to fix these other things that are kind of upstream. But once you do get to growth, the spark notes is that these days in 2024, right now, I see three main ways to grow a podcast, three ways that are working very well for people. Way number one is understanding how to generate organic social media reach. You're in the right place to do that, right? We talk about this on the show. We don't have to go too deep into that. But the other two ways, the second way is YouTube. So basically converting your show into a video podcast and learning how to grow on YouTube. This is something that gives people a icky feeling in their stomach who aren't on YouTube already, because there's a lot of other people, other quote unquote experts like me, who are saying, you got to be on YouTube.
No, Kevin, I want to stop you, because that's another thing where I was audio only for the first year of my podcast. I was afraid to turn on, I mean, I come from radio. I was afraid to turn on the camera that we're using right now. This is like a big investment for me. I decided to spend the money on it, but still getting on a camera was really intimidating for me. I was still having the same conversations. I was still recording on River. I use Riverside for my recording studio, but I mean, I was still recording using video. I just was not actually publishing it, because I was afraid of what people would think of seeing me. And a lot of imposter syndrome came in. But once I started publishing to YouTube and consistently publishing, I went from, I think, like maybe like 70 subscribers at the end of 2022 to now at the beginning of 2024, I think I have like 2,100, which is great. I mean, like, I'm not doing any ads or anything like that. But if you do it consistently and actually put in the strategy, you're right, you can't grow.
I mean, that's like 3,000% growth or something.
Yeah. Right? No, it's great. Yay.
It's true. And look, if you're hearing my voice and you're like, everyone, I guess I got to do YouTube. You don't have to. There are absolutely podcasts who leverage the other two strategies to grow their show. Despite what people say, you don't have to be on YouTube in order to grow. But it is very powerful. Once you, like, if you're considering it, I recommend taking the leap, taking the plunge, because it is, the YouTube algorithm is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And so once you get it going, and a lot of the shows right now that have millions and millions of viewers and subscribers, they learned how to convert their show into a video show. If you're thinking about video, I say go all in. If you really don't want to do video, that's okay. You can do social media. And the third tactic to grow a podcast, which is what I am doing right now, which is being featured on other podcasts. And this one is extremely powerful because, number one, 100% of the people that you reach in this via this strategy are podcast listeners. Because I've got news, only 40% of America listens to podcasts on a regular basis. So 60% of the people that you reach on social media, they might be your perfect ideal customer or whatever, but they just don't listen to podcasts regularly. You're probably not going to be the one to get them to start. So that's not to say that we don't use social media at all, but you just got to understand it's not the most efficient. Podcast guessing and making it so that people discover your show while they're listening to another podcast, 100% of the people that you reach are confirmed podcast listeners, and you are reaching them while they are listening to a podcast. You're hearing my voice right now. You are doing something. Something that's probably within your routine, like commuting or cleaning or working out or going for a walk or something. The fact that you learned about me now and learned that the Grow the Show podcast exists in the app that you are listening to right now to listen to podcasts and gives you tactics on how to grow your podcast every single week, odds are you're in a better position right now to go check that out, to open up your app in Spotify, Apple, whatever, search Grow the Show Kevin, check out an episode, because you are in the podcast listening mindset right now. But if you found out about me later tonight, while you're on the couch pretending to watch a Netflix show, but you're scrolling TikTok instead, what are the odds that you're going to stop? You're going to get up off the couch. You're going to go listen to my podcast. Probably not so good, right?
Louder for the people in the back. Oh my gosh. For those of you watching on YouTube, you saw me almost jump out of my chair. It's so true. I have a social media agency. I love social media, but friends, I've never gone to Instagram and been like, oh, look, a podcast that I know nothing about. I'm going to go leave Instagram, which I've been mindlessly scrolling, to go listen to a podcast. It's so true. Yes.
100%. And again, that's not to say we should abandon social media as a strategy, because I had a client this year who went from 0 to 1 million downloads in 90 days just from TikTok and Instagram. It's doable, but it's just not as efficient. So we still want to include social media as a part of our strategy.
Absolutely.
Because guess what? The people that you reach as you're growing your social media account, they follow you on that platform. They start getting your content on a regular basis. They start to know, like, and trust you. And then, because you're mentioning your show every once in a while, then they're like, oh, wow, I follow Katie on Instagram and she puts out great stuff all the time. I want to check out her podcast. So it does work, but it's just less of a straight to the jugular as this strategy is to get podcast listeners really quickly. The one thing I would say about this strategy, because a lot of people get the word is kind of out, but the cat's out of the bag when it comes to podcast guesting. And so because of that, podcasters are inundated with bad pitches all the time. So number one, you want to make sure that your pitch is good. You are pitching your topic, not yourself. And number two is, I would say, focus on a long-term approach and focus on getting on bigger shows that have a significant audience rather than just trying to get on 1,000 shows that have 100 listeners.
So I've been on some pretty big shows. I've been on the Social Media Examiner podcast. I've been on Bigger Pockets. Those shows, like the Bigger Pockets show, I still have people that reach out. And that was back in 2021. But it still is driving, I guess, backlinking and credibility and people wanting to reach out to me. But you can't just be like, hey, this is my first interview. I'm going to go try to be on the biggest show possible. I do think that having some of those smaller shows like mine, you're on my show right now, which is very flattering, but it's not the biggest show. So I think that it is really important to find the shows where you can have a good conversation and 100%. You know that the person will share it. Like I share this with all my emailers. All that's really important.
Add to that is that a lot of times, despite the fact that I said you want to try to get on bigger shows, a lot of times the more boutique shows have more engaged audiences. So I've had it where I go in the same week, I'm on one show that has thousands of listeners, one show that has 1,000 listeners, and I get more audience from the smaller show just because it's a smaller but mightier community. So 100%, that's not to completely discount smaller shows. It's just, don't go, after hearing me say this, don't go and get yourself on 1,000 tiny podcasts this month, because you're going to burn yourself out.
Well, and you can do it. So I used to do 2 podcast guest interviews a week. Yeah. Now I don't have it since I'm doing more Rocky Mountain Marketing podcasts. I'm not recording quite as much for guest interviews. Now I do about 2 a month. I use Podmatch. I know that you met Alex at the Capshovian event. There's podcast agencies. So if you want to use guesting as part of your strategy, there's agencies. We do that at Rocky Mountain Marketing. But if you want to do it the DIY approach, Podmatch is a great way to do it. You have an opportunity with a lot of indie podcasters. And a lot of those people that I met on Podmatch, I still talk to today. We still follow on social media. They've come on my show. Do you want to check out Podmatch? Affiliate link. Join podmatch.com/Katie. All right, man, Kevin, we're really going a little bit long with this episode, but it's so good. So I want to hear about step number 4. Again, people can listen to your show, Grow the Show. They can check out how to work with you, Grow the Show Accelerator and everything. But let's talk about that fourth step or fourth rung on the ladder.
Yeah. So the last one is the biggest question I get. How can I monetize my podcast, right? Horrible question. Why? Because how can you answer it? At what moment is a podcast monetized? And to which most people say, what? When I make money, right? When I get paid. The next question is, who is paying you? And they're like, well, my sponsors. I'm like, okay, who is paying your sponsors? Well, if you think about it, sponsors sponsor your podcast so that your listeners will buy their stuff. That's it. What's also true is a great way to monetize your show is to sell stuff to your listeners, right? Get them to buy your stuff. So a better question to ask is not how do I monetize my podcast, but what can I get my listeners to buy, right? Because here's the big secret. Level 4 is convert listeners to customers, AKA get your listeners to buy something that you get a cut of, right? So you just did it. Check out Podmatch. I have an affiliate link, right? You also can get your listeners to hire you, hire your agency. And you can also get sponsors who just basically pay you in advance for your listeners to become their customers. So that's literally it. If you're like, how do I monetize my podcast? The question to answer is simply, what can I get my listeners to want to buy? What do they want to buy that I can tell them about that I can get a cut of? Whether it's you sell it, you're an affiliate, or it's an actual sponsorship. And that's really it. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, it's time for me to monetize. But what I would say is if your show is not growing regularly, I would not worry about monetization yet. I would solve that problem first, because otherwise monetization is going to be a one-shot thing because your audience is stagnant. So you're going to offer them something. It's going to be the same people if your show is not growing. So that's step 4 boils down to convert listeners to buyers of something and you will get ROI on your show.
Kevin, steps 3 and 4 we talked about really quickly, and not because we're kind of over the time limit that I have for the show, but because I feel like steps one and two are so important.
Totally.
If you don't have steps one and two figured out, three and four really aren't going to matter. And you're still just going to be spinning your wheels. Like, I could go out and do a $10,000 pitch to some company to try and sponsor the show. But if I don't have that engaged listenership of people that are growing week after week and that are my biggest fans and that are already buying from me, whether it's the Podmatch affiliate or whether it's buying the Social Shift, whatever it is, that's where you have to make sure that you're talking to the right people every week. It comes down to having that strategy in place and building out a community of your audience that really using social media, using email, all the things. And so this has been such a great conversation. I've got a lot of ideas for different things that I can do for my show. But if we're wanting to, obviously, listen to Kevin's show, Grow the Show, on all the podcast players. But if people want to reach out to you and they say, look, Kevin, I either haven't launched a podcast yet or I launched one and I got stuck. What would be the best way for them to get in touch with you? Should they join your accelerator? I know you have your mastermind that you're launching. If people want to work directly with you, you know, obviously yeah. listen to your podcast. What is the best way for them to take that next step?
Yeah, I'm actually holding a live event next week. So if you're hearing this episode the week that it comes out, April 1st through 5th, I'm holding a live online summit called Grow the Show Live. It's going to be 5 days. Every single day, we're diving deep into one specific rung of the podcast ladder. If you're hearing my voice and that sounds good to you, you're an entrepreneur, CEO, founder looking to grow a show, it's literally about to happen. Would love to have you there. If you're hearing this after the live event, April 1st through 5th, 2024, the best thing to do is just go to 12daysofpodcastgrowth.com, 12daysofpodcastgrowth.com. It's a 12-day email course that I put together that'll give you a little bit more detail, the lay of the land. And then, yes, if you are interested in working with me directly, I've got several products, several ways that I can help. You'll find out about it. You will find out how to set up a conversation with us through that course. But what I found is it's usually best to give that course a go, join us at Grow the Show Live, get a little bit more of a taste of what we do. Yeah, if you want to work with me directly, we can always go from there.
Well, I'll have the link for that 5-day challenge that's coming up next week. Yeah, so if you're listening to this after the challenge, darn, you missed out, but be sure to sign up for Kevin's email list. I signed up for it at Capshovians, and it was a pleasure having him show up in my inbox every day. It was very helpful information that was delivered to me in my inbox every day. So connect with Kevin, check out that 5-day challenge. I'll be there. I feel that no matter exactly with like what you did when you were trying to grow your Philly podcast, you listen, you learn from other perspectives, and you might get that aha moment that's really going to, no matter if you've been podcasting for 100 episodes or one episode, there's going to be something that you can implement and change. So definitely check out Kevin's event. Kevin, it is a pleasure speaking with you. This was such a fun conversation. I'd love to do it again. Love to have you back on the show. I think that with what you're doing, it's a different way of really thinking about podcasting. Like we all talk about like, oh, have a podcast. You know, it's great for SEO and everything. But what you're trying to implement is the strategy for having a successful podcast, which is very different than just having a podcast. So I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your wisdom with all of the Rocky Mountain Marketing listeners.
Oh, thanks, Katie. You've been so kind. This has been a blast. Thank you so much for featuring me.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Rocky Mountain Marketing. I hope you're leaving with valuable insights and the inspiration to lead your market. If you've enjoyed our time together and found today's podcast episode useful, I have a small favor to ask of you. Please hit that subscribe button to stay updated with the latest episodes. And if you know someone who could benefit from these episodes, maybe a fellow business leader or an aspiring entrepreneur, go ahead and share this episode with them. Let's spread the knowledge and grow together. Also, I'd love to hear from you and continue the conversation beyond the podcast. Visit me at katiebrinkley.com to connect, to find more resources, or just to share your journey. And be sure to pick up your copy of my new book, The Social Shift, at katiebrinkley.com/book. Thanks again for tuning in. I'm Katie Brinkley, and I can't wait to dive into more strategies and stories with you on the next episode of Rocky Mountain Marketing. Let's keep on taking your marketing to new heights.